Good morning. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Youth Sunday. If you are visiting with us, we are happy you are here. Please fill out the card in the back of the pew and place it in the offering plate when it comes by. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today, and thank you for just allowing everyone to have a part in Youth Sunday. Please be with everyone and just help them to do well. In God's name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Can everyone stand and turn with me to page 328?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for this church and this family. Be with the youth today as we bring a message and bless these tithes and offerings to further thy kingdom. Amen.
Okay, good morning.
You guys good?
Okay. So, what would you guys do if you found some money by your teacher's desk at school? Would you give it to your teacher, or would you keep it? Well, I would give it to my teacher, because that would be the right thing to do. Let's see. Yeah, what would you do if you were walking home from, say, the park or something, and you found some money on the road, like a bunch of money? Would you give it to your parents? Give it to the police? Yeah, I would too. So that's what our lesson's going to be about today, about honesty and about the right thing to do.
Okay. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much.
Can you hold this one?
So, if we are honest about small things, we will be honest about big things also. So, Henry found $50 at the park. He showed it to his parents, and they gave it to the police. Did they do the right thing? Yeah. Okay, that's good. Maria found $150 at the mall. And she looked around, and she didn't see anybody looking, so she put it in her pocketbook. Was that the right thing to do? No. Okay. The point is, honesty is not a question of how much money is found. It's a matter of doing the right thing.
Okay. So now we're going to pray. So close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the little kids that are here today. We ask that you help them to just be honest and to do the right thing all the time. In God's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 329. Please be seated.
Prayer concerns. This morning, as we go into the Lord's Prayer, may we remember the following who have lost loved ones: the family of Frank Fushi Sr., the family of Louise Womble. May we also remember those who are sick and recuperating from sickness. Mr. Frank Fursi, whose father has passed away this week. Mr. Frank is at Central Carolina in ICU. Ms. Sarah Allen, who has been in the hospital this past week but is now home. And please remember all those listed in our prayer list and those Lord will impress upon our hearts. Is there any more prayer concerns? Anymore? Let us pray. Dear God, please help the people on the prayer list. Let them grow strong in faith and in their physical state. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this morning, I'm going to tell you a story about three men named Bill, Jim, and Scott. But the question you need to think about while I'm telling you this story is, have you ever needed a little bit of grace? So, the story goes, Bill, Jim, and Scott were at a convention together and were sharing a large suite on the top of a 75-story skyscraper. After a long day of meetings, they were shocked to hear that the elevators in the hotel were broken, and they would have to climb 75 flights of stairs to get to their room. Bill and Jim said to Scott, let's break the monotony of this unpleasant task by concentrating on something interesting. I'll tell jokes for 25 flights, Jim can sing songs for the next 25 flights, and Scott can tell sad stories for the rest of the way. At the 26th floor, Bill stopped telling jokes and Jim began to sing. At the 51st floor, Jim stopped singing and Scott began to tell sad stories. I will start with my saddest story first, Scott said. I left the room key in the car. So I guess Scott needed a little bit of grace that day. So asking God for forgiveness and for him to come into your heart can take you to heaven, but you must also do good works with that forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. There was only the one who was spotless, without sin. And that was Jesus Christ, who was sent by God to walk among us and ultimately pay the price of our sins by hanging on the cross. Each person has sin in their life. It shows up in all kinds of places, at school, work, and even church. As Christians, we are called to repent our sins and ask for forgiveness. But what do we actually want forgiveness for? For being caught doing the sin or for doing the sin? I'm going to tell you another story because those are really interesting. So there was a man, and I'm just going to say his name is Mr. Smith. And then his next door neighbor, let's say his name is John. So one night, Mr. Smith was getting ready for bed, and outside in his chicken coops, he heard a ruckus. So he went out there to see what it was. And he saw John in his chicken coop with a bag, and he was stuffing his chickens in that bag, trying to steal the chickens. So he goes, John, what are you doing? Those are my chickens. And he goes, oh, Mr. Smith, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just really need money right now. Can you please forgive me? And Mr. Smith says, I can forgive you. Just don't do it again. Put my chickens back and don't come back. So the next night, as Mr. Smith's getting ready for bed, he hears a ruckus outside in his chicken coop. So he goes outside, and he sees John again, and he goes, John, what are you doing? Those are my chickens. So John goes, oh, Mr. Smith, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I know these are your chickens. I just really need the money right now. I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again. So Mr. Smith says, okay, just don't do it again. Well, the next night, he hears a ruckus in his chicken coops again, and he goes outside, and he goes, John, what are you doing? Those are my chickens. And John goes, oh, Mr. Smith, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And Mr. Smith says, John, I think you're sorry for the fact that you're getting caught, not the fact that you're trying to steal my chickens. So, the next time you ask for forgiveness, ask yourself, am I asking for forgiveness because I got caught or because I actually committed the sin? Faith without works is dead. James 2:17 says, so also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What are works? Acts of kindness to show others that and demonstrate how God first loved us. This can be through praying for others, encouraging others, or by tangible means such as raking leaves, cooking a meal, or helping others who are in need. But how would we go about doing that? Scripture reference Matthew 25:35-40 says, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me. The righteous will then answer to him, when, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you into our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. So, I have another story to go with that. A religion professor named Dr. Christensen taught a required survey of Christianity course at a small college. Every freshman was required to take the course regardless of his or her major. Although he tried hard to communicate the gospel, students viewed the class as nothing more than a waste of time. One particular year, Dr. Christensen had a student named Steve. Steve was the center for the college football team and also a strong Christian who intended on going to the seminary. One day, Dr. Christensen had an idea, and he asked Steve to stay after class. "How many push-ups can you do?" he asked. Steve said, "I do 200 every night." The professor asked Steve if he could do 300. "I have never done 300 before," Steve said, "but I think I can do it." "Good," the professor replied, and he proceeded to tell his plan to Steve. Friday came, and Steve got to class early. Dr. Christensen came in with a large box of fluffy, cream-filled donuts. The class was very excited. It was Friday, the last class of the day, and they could start their weekend early. Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the row and asked, "Cynthia, would you like a donut?" "Yes," she said. Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped down out of his desk and counted off 10 push-ups. Dr. Christensen laid the donut on Cynthia's desk. Joe was next. He asked Joe the same question, and Joe said, "Yes." Steve did 10 more push-ups, and the professor laid the donut on Joe's desk. And so it went all the way down the first row and halfway down the second until it came to Scott. Scott was a basketball player and very friendly to female companionship. Scott replied to the professor's question by saying, "I want the donut if I can do my own push-ups." Dr. Christensen said, "No, Steve has to do the push-ups." Then Scott said, "Well, I don't want one if I can't do my own." Dr. Christensen turned around and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Scott can have a donut he doesn't want?" Scott said, "Hey, I said I didn't want one." Dr. Christensen said, "Look, this is my classroom, my class, my desk, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it." And he put the donut on Scott's desk. Steve had begun to slow down, and sweat began to form on his cheeks. Dr. Christensen started down the third row. Students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said, "No." Then Dr. Christensen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so that Jenny can have a donut she doesn't want?" Steve did 10 push-ups, and Jenny got a donut. By now, a sense of uneasiness had filled the room. The students were all beginning to say no. There were uneaten donuts on every desk. Steve was now putting forth a lot of extra effort to get the push-ups done for each donut. A small pool of sweat was on his face and on the floor, and you could see sweat soaking through his shirt. Dr. Christensen asked Robert, the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch and make sure Steve did the full 10. Dr. Christensen started down the fourth row. Students from other classes had come in and were sitting along the side of the room watching on. When the professor saw, he counted, and he saw that there were now 34 people in the room. He was worried for Steve. Could he do that many push-ups? Jason, a recent transfer student, didn't know what was going on and came in to see. The class yelled, "Go away! Don't come in!" Steve picked up his head and said, "Let him come in." Jason was asked, and he said yes. "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly with great struggle. Jason, confused, was handed a donut, and he sat down. Dr. Christensen then finished the fourth row and began on the visitors. Steve's arms were shaking uncontrollably with each push-up. By this time, sweat was pouring off his face and arms. The very last two students were cheerleaders. "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda cried and said, "No, thank you." Professor turned to Steve. "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. The last girl was Susan. "Susan, would you like a donut?" Susan was full of tears and did not answer. "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Susan can have a donut?" Susan then asked, "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen had tears in his eyes also and replied, "I have given him this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party, I looked at the grade book and found that Steve was the only person with a perfect grade. All of you had either failed a test, skipped a class, or turned in inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messes up, he must do push-ups.
I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve slowly got off the floor. He had done 350 push-ups. His arms buckled beneath him as he started to get up. Two students helped Steve up off the floor and to a seat, physically exhausted but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the professor. "Not all sermons are preached in words, class." Turning to the students, the professor said, "My wish is that you may fully comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that have been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God did not only spare his son, but gave him up for all of us. Whether or not we accept his gift is our choice. The price has been paid. Wouldn't you be foolish and ungrateful to leave it lying on the desk?" "For it is by grace you have been saved. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." Grace is defined as, in Christian beliefs, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessing. This is the story of John Newton. He's the writer of Amazing Grace. "The gift of forgiveness is often best appreciated by those who need it most. The Reverend John Newton experienced this truth firsthand. His tombstone tells the story. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy." These words were written by Newton himself, a testimony to God's transforming power. After years as a hardened slave trader, the wretch met Jesus Christ and abruptly turned in to defend the gospel he had so long despised. Throughout Newton's years of ministry, God's amazing grace remained central to Newton's thinking. When it was suggested at age 82 he retired due to poor health and a failing memory, he responded, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things: that I am a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior." Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. Why couldn't we do good works and be thankful for the gift of God's grace? God's grace will meet our needs, but we are to do our part as Christians and not just stop our work after we make profession of faith. There is still work to be done. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few," says Luke 10:2. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Would you pray with me? God, we've talked about your grace, your forgiveness, and our works that we need to do for salvation. Go with us as we try hard to live in your image and help bring others to you. Amen. Turn it over to Gary.
Amazing signs for our youth to lead worship. Not to put on a show. Not to go through the motions. And not to pretend. But to lead worship. And today they've led us in worship. They have reminded us of God's gift, of God's grace. And as I thought of that young man doing those push-ups, what a slight and easy metaphor. I then thought of what we move toward ever closer. Before we can come to Easter, we have to go by way of Calvary. We have to go to the cross, where Jesus did more than push-ups. He gave himself up so I could have a donut, so I could have eternal life, so I could live above the circumstances, above disease, above death. And Peyton has done a marvelous job of sharing us with that message today. I reminded the choir and the youth in the back that the way you lead worship is by being the leading worshiper. What have you come to do today? And how will we leave? For now it's time for us to sing an invitation hymn, we call it. A hymn of decision, we sometimes call it. Not the closing hymn. But that moment where we take all that God has said and is saying, and we bring it together. And we make choices. We make choices about our family. We make choices about our friends. We make choices about our choices and how we're going to live our life this week. There's no other hymn book in the hymn book we could sing except page 330, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And here's our question. Here's our invitation. Here's God's invitation. What will we do with God's grace? Have we been digging in the same chicken coop over and over? Will we dig this coming week? Are we sorry not for being caught? But are we sorry because we know it breaks our relationship with our God? And it changes how we do family and how we do everything. As you sing that hymn, you know it by heart. But sing it as though it were the first time. And look deeply at the words, the melody you know. But let those words be your words, not just John Newton who wrote them. Let them be our words. Let them be my words. And let us make the decisions to show we've worshiped the living God. Would you stand with me? Y'all have blessed us today, and we appreciate you leading us in worship. don't know how we're going to work this, Peyton, because you've got to be a part of the last, but I want you to get to me as soon as you can. Will y'all, Peyton, just a minute when she finishes the song to get down there? I know you want to leave, but hey, you're early, so just hold tight, okay? When we're through with the song, Peyton, okay, do you need help to sing? You can sing, and yeah, you got to play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, very good. If the Lord has blessed your heart this day, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
Thank you again for your leadership. Adult, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day and all the many blessings you bestow upon us. Please let us take something away from Peyton's lesson and go out and spread your word. Amen.